Well, welcome everyone. Thank you for coming to the Vineyard this morning. As the people said, my name is Doug Erickson, and from time to time, they let me come up here and share. And we're continuing this series that we started a while ago about heart dangers. And we're going through the teachings of Jesus in Matthew. And this morning, I get to speak on a subject that is a very real struggle for many of us: worry and anxiety. Now, it seems that, like, for whatever reason, whenever they say, "Hey, can you like come? Can you like preach on this subject?" and I say, "Sure," God is faithful to present me plenty of opportunities to learn about this subject, right? And if you had asked me, say, 3, 4, 5 months ago, is worry or anxiety, is that something that you deal with? I probably would have said, not really. You know, maybe kind of, but I'm not really the worrying type. It's not something I struggle with. Well, I couldn't have guessed then that a few months later I would have plenty of things to worry about just in time to prepare for a sermon with the topic of don't worry. I didn't know that by March of 2025, I would have to take nearly an entire week off of work because I wasn't sleeping. I had crippling headaches that didn't allow me to look at a computer monitor, which is part of my job. I didn't know at that time that I would have so much tension. I'm still dealing with this, that I was clenching my fists sleeping at night, and my fingers are still sore from that pressure. The anxiety that I had about friends that are struggling, about our church, about the well-being of so many people that I cared about, was causing me emotional and physical pain that I was struggling to deal with. Turns out I have quite a bit to learn about our topic today, and maybe I don't have quite the handle on things that I thought. But you know, the one thing that all these things that I had, that I was worrying about, the one thing that they all had in common, I had zero control over all of them. There was literally nothing I could do to change other people's opinions, to change other people's actions, to change other people's thoughts and behaviors. I had no control. I had no control how my friends would respond to difficult news. I had no control how we as a community would respond to some of the difficult challenges that we've had lately. And yet, I was constructing these worst-case scenarios in my head. What if this thing happens? And then how will so-and-so react? And if they say this, what if this person is going to say? And how? What if, how? And my brain is just churning through all these possible scenarios that honestly, very few of them came to be. It was driving me nuts, causing me physical and mental anxiety. And all of this was out of my control. So maybe it's time for us to hear these words of Jesus again. It's time for me to hear these words of Jesus again. I've read this so many times in the past, but these words we're going to hear today, again, we're going to find these aren't just like cheap slogans from God. They're not cheap. Attaboys, you can do it. Buckle up, little camper. But they're deep truths that I need to relearn and practice again and again. And so this morning, as we read through the scriptures, we're going to discover that Jesus is telling us we can control our worries and our anxieties so they don't control us. Let's pray. Oh, Lord Jesus, on this Palm Sunday, we say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, in whom we have our hope, the hope of Israel and the hope of the world. And Lord, today as we open up your word, I ask that you would show us those places in our lives where worry and anxiety have taken a stronghold and are playing a greater role in our lives than they should. Lord, we ask that you would convict us, that you would show us, and most of all, Lord, you would bring your hope and bring your grace. We thank you, Lord, for your presence here today. And help us, Lord, get back on the good path of following you. Bring your hope, bring your peace to us. In your name, amen. If you want, you can join with me as we read the text for today. If you're following along at home and or in Bibles here, I will be reading from Matthew 6, 25 to 34 from the First Nations version of the New Testament. Worry is the wrong path. This is why I'm telling you, Jesus says, not to be troubled about getting enough to eat or drink or what to wear. Is eating, drinking, and clothing yourself all there is? Does your life not have more meaning than this? Look at the winged ones who soar in the wind. Do they plant seeds and gather the harvest into a storehouse? No. But your Father from above gives them plenty to eat. Do you not know that he cares even more for you? Can worry add even one more step to the length of your life's journey? Why do you trouble yourself with what to wear? Have you seen how the wildflowers grow in the plains and the meadows? Do you think that they work hard and long to clothe themselves? No. I tell you that even the great chieftain stands in peace, that is Solomon, wearing his finest regalia, was dressed as well as even one of these. If Creator covers the wild grass and the plains of such beauty, which is here today and gathered for tomorrow's fire, will he not take even better care of you? Why is your faith so small? There is no need to say, what will we eat? What will we drink? What will we wear? This is what the nations who have lost their way have given their hearts to. But your Father from above knows you need these things. If you make Creator's good road your first aim, representing his right ways, he will make sure you have all you need for today, so do not worry about tomorrow's troubles. It is enough to trust Creator to give you the strength that you need to face today. Oh, Holy Spirit, bless this reading of your scriptures today. Bring your peace and truth, Spirit of God, to us. Here's the deal. Worry sells. Worry is a nearly universal human emotion, right? We all worry about something. We worry about our finances. We worry about our health. We worry about our friends and family members. We worry about whether the car is going to start in the morning on a January morning. Amen? Yeah. We worry about what the traffic is going to be like, what kind of mood our boss is going to be in that day, on and on and on. The point is, worry and anxiety are emotions, and therefore they're not bad in themselves, but they act as a kind of an indicator of deeper things that are going on in our soul. Now, to be clear, I am not a therapist. I'm not a doctor. So I'm not talking today about the kind of debilitating or crushing anxiety or conditions that a person might see a therapist or a doctor for. And while I think that even these words of Jesus, that they apply to those situations, I'm primarily thinking about the kind of worry and anxiety that all of us face every day. Now, having said all that, if you paid any attention to the news over the last whatever, you're surely aware that we're in the midst of an epidemic of anxiety in the United States. It's crippling us. The statistics about the growth of anxiety and the treatment of anxiety and related issues like depression are staggering and depressing. In the U.S., from 2004 until 2020, there is a 188% increase in emergency room visits for self-harm among teenage girls, and a 48% increase with boys. Not surprisingly, major depression among teenagers has skyrocketed over that period, including a 145% increase in depressive episode in girls and a 161% increase among boys. This generation has been labeled the anxious generation because of statistics like this. And not surprisingly, the marketers and the influencers who not only have worked to create this mess, they're also profiting from it. Worry is used to sell toothpaste, deodorant, cars, breakfast cereals, beauty products, clothes, pet insurance, you name it. Our influencers and our marketers know how to move product based on our anxieties, do they not? And if that is not enough, because of these things, we have all new categories of worries to deal with. Now, it wasn't too long ago where it was uncommon to hear people talking about FOMO, which is fear of missing out. Anybody remember that? The fear that somewhere, somehow, someplace, someone is having a better time than you are. Now, as an Enneagram 7, like Becca and I, we can especially relate to this because the motto of 7s is, well, that sounds fun. And when I was younger and I had more courage and probably less wisdom, this often came out to me like, sure, you know, this party is great, but what about all the other parties? Why, God, why can't I be at more than one place at one time? It's not fair to have to choose. That's FOMO. But in recent years, our Instaculture and these things have created a completely different kind of anxiety, the fear of being included. Let me explain what I mean by that. So we have these amazing cameras in our phone now, and unlike the past, all of us novice photographers, now we have all kinds of places. Forget the art gallery, forget the displays and local art museums. No need for that, because I can put my masterpiece up on Instagram or TikTok or my favorite social media site. And this is all well and good, and if you happen to look at my Instagram account, and you will have FOMO regarding fish, but you know, that's another thing, trigger warning there for you. But as we know, people being people, there are a lot of not so great developments in this world also. And I'm not going to talk about all those potential evils, but I am going to talk about one related to our topic today, and that is #fail. Anybody seen that one? The fear of being included in a #fail with a video doing something and failing. Now, I haven't looked at all of these, but I'm sure I'm probably tagged in a few of these. Parking fail, walking fail, driving fail, work fails, Sunday, if there is actually a worship fail, that is a pretty hilarious account. I watched that a few times. It's pretty hilarious. And my favorite, of course, preaching fails. And some of these accounts come right out and say, send us your fails. So this fear of being included for this generation that has grown up with these things, and they found themselves as a subject of an eating fail, or shirt fail, or pants fail, or dance fail hashtag, it's not funny. It's become a major issue for many of our young people and is a source of some of this anxiety and depression, bullying, intimidation, harassment, and pain. So church, this is kind of an aside, brothers and sisters, I'm speaking to my heart, from my heart here. Can we just become known as a people that will cut each other some slack? In this age, you know, when it's like pitchforks and torches at midnight, you know, we're going to march against whatever kind of thing. Can we just like chill a little bit and give each other some grace, cut each other a little slack, and rather than magnify or blast somebody's mistake, extend grace and peace to each other? Let's go back to the scriptures for today. When Jesus says, this is why I'm telling you not to be troubled about what getting enough to eat or drink or what to air, what to... Is eating, drinking, clothing yourself all there is? Does your life not have more meaning than this? Now, these questions that Jesus asked, the logic of these questions, does your life not have more meaning than this? Can worry add even one more step to the length of your life's journey? Notice that Jesus does not shame us with a quit it, or a childish buckle up little camper, or don't worry, be happy. He actually gives us logic, logical reasons to point us back to what we can control and what we can't control. We can't, as much as we'd love to hear, we can't control the weather in Duluth, right? We can't control peace in the Middle East. We can't control hurricanes, earthquakes, lightning. We can't control other people and their choices. And we can't control how someone might treat us tomorrow. But we can control our attitudes, whether we have peace and our runaway mind. Tim Keller, who was a pastor in New York City, says this: the essence of anxiety is the desire to control that which we can't control. That's why we're anxious. We feel the need for control in an area where there is no possibility of control. Jesus says, consider the three little birds of the air. They are provided with what they need, and so too will your Father provide what you need. You know this. Don't worry about a thing, because every little thing is going to be all right. Right? What Jesus isn't saying this thing, isn't talking about here, is things like hard work or planning for the future or dreaming of a better life. He's not suggesting that we adopt this lethargic refusal to work or refusal to plan. He says, consider the birds. Now, the ones at my feeder, they were working their little tails off providing for themselves, right? They're certainly not lazy. But the hard truth that Jesus is pointing to us to is this: we are not in control. We have never been in control. And we will not be in control of some of the circumstances in our lives. Now, this doesn't mean we don't have influence. This doesn't mean our choices don't matter. But what we don't have, and what I absolutely crave sometimes, is absolute control. I want to be like God. And that anxiety reveals my idolatry, my desire to be a little God. And where does that come from? I think there's a few sources. One that's really positive and one that's less so. I'm going to start with the good news first. Creation. Do you know that we were created to rule, to govern, and to be co-regents with God? That's the way Genesis portrays Adam and Eve in the garden. But the fall, the sin, and our own rebellion, they've broken that. And part of this kingdom of God that you hear us talk about here at the Vineyard, part of the kingdom of God that is partially here and coming, is the restoration of us as rulers over creation. But that's a hope that will be fully realized in the future. Listen to what the Bible says about that future in 1 Corinthians 6. If any of you has a dispute with one another, do you dare to take it before the ungodly for judgment? He means civil authorities there instead of the Lord's people. Or do you not know that the Lord's people will judge the world? And if we are to judge the world, aren't you competent to judge trivial cases? Do you know that we will judge angels? How much more the things of this life? Jumping ahead to Revelation 5. And with your blood, speaking of Jesus, you purchased for God persons with every tribe and language and people and nation. You have made them to be a kingdom and priests to serve our God. At some point in the future, these scriptures are telling us that we will be restored when the kingdom of God has come fully and we see God face to face. We will be restored to our proper place of reigning with him. But until that day, our control is limited. That's the good news. Here's the less good news. So earlier I talked about some of the societal and cultural issues for this epidemic and anxiety, and I think there's another factor that's present here that is maybe less recognized, and especially affects those of us in the church. And by church, I don't necessarily mean just us here. I mean the big global church. And if you've grown up in the church or been around the church for the past decades, I think this might resonate with you, because a long time in the American church, there's been a gospel presented that goes something like this. All you need to do is accept Jesus into your heart as your personal Savior, and all your troubles will be gone. No more struggle, no more tears, no more pain. From now on, life is just picking daisies in the sunshine and sipping margaritas on the beach. With Jesus in your heart now, all you're going to have is physical, emotional, and relational comfort and security the rest of your life, and on forever. Amen. Anybody heard that one? Anybody heard something like that presentation of the gospel in a church or on TV or a podcast or wherever? Lots of us have. Now, the problem with that gospel is it's not the gospel that was taught by Jesus, who said things like in John 16, "In this world you will have trouble." And in Luke 12, "Do you think that I came to bring peace upon this earth? I tell you, I came not to bring peace, but a sword." And then this doozy he gave to his disciples right before he sent them out to preach the kingdom of God, to preach the words of the kingdom, and to do the works of the kingdom and healing. He told them, "Whoever does not take up their cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Whoever finds their life will lose it, and whoever loses their life for my sake will find it." So some places in the church have sold us this gospel that says we can be in control. We can avoid suffering. We can avoid disappointment. We can avoid pain right now in this life. It's a gospel that tells us we can control the uncontrollable, and that's wrong. So how do we control our worries so our worries don't control us? Let's look at the next few verses in our text. Verse 31. And Jesus says, there's no need to worry. What will we eat? What will we drink? What will we wear? This is what the nations who have lost their way have given their hearts to, but your Father from above knows you need these things. And like I said in the intro, the circumstances of life have given me lots of practice and lots of material for this over the last couple months. And so I've been practicing worrying real good. But Jesus is here again telling me and telling us there's no need for this kind of worry, because he reminds us that God loves us. Consider the birds. Aren't you worth more than them? And God knows us. Your Father knows what you need. Now, the fact that our Father loves us and knows us should be more than enough to ease our minds and stop the worry train. But there are other things we can do to learn to cope with uncertainty and deal with these things we can control. And I think it's worth repeating again that worry and anxiety are not bad in themselves. They are feelings we all have, but they are flashing warning signs. They're designed to show us that something is not right in our soul, because there's a difference between the emotion that we all have of worry when faced with something unpredictable and living in anxiety as a way of life. And I have a sister who's a therapist who always used to use this, you know. This is one of these things where it's okay to visit, to experience this worry. But when you pack your bags and move in, then it becomes a problem. And when I take my truck to my almost best friend in the world, my mechanic, I don't say, hey, Brandon, can you make that little check engine light go away? Can you like unplug it, or maybe just put some tape over it or something so it stops bothering me? No. I ask him, dude, can you take a look at the codes, plug in the computer, figure out what's triggering this check engine light, and then let me know whether it's worth fixing my 15-year-old truck, right? And what Jesus is offering is something similar to us. He's not going to say, oh, sure, I can disconnect that little warning light so you aren't bothered. He's saying, no, here's how you can fix the underlying problem that is making that anxiety warning light go off. How do we do this? There's a couple of verses that come to mind. Romans 12 says, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. In 2 Corinthians, we demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. As followers of Jesus with the Holy Spirit living in us, our minds, our thoughts, our souls, our hearts can be transformed. They can be renewed into a right order of thinking that pleases God. We are not mere victims here. With the power of the Holy Spirit, we can take our thoughts captive and keep them from running all over the place, causing chaos. And sometimes when I think of my mind like this, I think of like a litter of golden retriever puppies, right? That are just crashing into each other and bouncing around and causing chaos. And it's cute when they're puppies. But if they're still behaving that way when they're adult 90-pound dogs, it ain't so cute anymore. It's insane. No, over the last few months, I've been going to physical therapy stuff for my hip. And are there any PTs here, actually? A quick question, this is totally aside, is like, who hurt you? No, seriously, what is wrong with you people? When I go to see my therapist and he does manipulation on my muscles and he says, okay, it's going to be a little bit discomfort here. And right before I black out, he says, all right, now a little more pressure coming. Discomfort, he calls it. And these so-called exercises that he walks me through are helping, but as time goes on, he's adjusted them, right? He's made them more difficult for me to do. And his reasoning for this is something like this. He says, the stuff I had you do that got you from 40% recovery to 60% recovery isn't going to get you to 80%. And so we have to up the intensity, up the difficulty. And sometimes even it's got to become uncomfortable for you to push your recovery to the next level. And maybe some of you can relate to that from this or learning higher algebra back in the day or whatever. In order to grow, more challenge is needed. And I think spiritual faith muscles are a lot like that. They need to be exercised and developed. It's perfectly fine to start in small ways, but if we desire to grow in our faith and be released from the power of anxiety, fear, and worry over our lives, the only way to do it is to risk more, is to regularly practice giving these things over to God who meets us in our weakness. Verse 33 of Matthew here, if you make Creator's good road your first aim, representing his right ways, he will make sure you have all you need for each day. So do not worry about tomorrow's troubles. It is enough to trust Creator to give you the strength you need to face today. What a promise. If we set our feet on following Jesus, he will provide for whatever we need for that day. Will there be troubles tomorrow? Probably. Will God's grace be enough to make it to help us through tomorrow as well? That seems to be the promise that Jesus is offering us here. God is always faithful to offer us paths to follow in order to grow our faith. And we can choose the wide, easy road. Or sometimes we can choose the path that looks poorly marked, nearly vertical, a challenging trail that only crazies would attempt. And sometimes I've taken that easy road and I've received the benefit, as Jesus has said, I received that reward. But in choosing the hard trail, that's when my faith muscles have been developed. So let's do a faith exercise together. Can you identify right now in your mind, you don't have to shout them out, things that are right now causing you worry and anxiety? What are the things that are bubbling to the surface now that maybe the Holy Spirit is bringing to your mind that are causing you worry and anxiety? First question. If you've got a few things that have come to mind, Holy Spirit, I ask you to bring your presence now. You bring your wisdom. You bring your peace to us. But Lord, bring these things to us that you want to deal with us this morning. Ask yourself, is this thing I'm worried about, is this in my control or not? Is this something I can change by my attitudes, by my beliefs, or by my actions? Or something I can at least influence? Now, if the answer is yes to those things, and you do have control over them, then I would encourage you to pray for wisdom, for courage, and for the strength to take them on. Because we are designed and called to be agents of change in this world. And so if that stuff is something that, yeah, I can make a difference, I can change, pray for grace and strength to take it on. Now, for some of us, we're looking at this list, and there are definitely things that are not in our control. It might be things like things that have happened in the past, other people's thoughts and actions, how others treat us. And this is the logic behind Jesus' line that, can any of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life or one more step to your life's journey? The obvious answer to that is no. And for some of us, we need to hear again this question from Jesus. Has worrying helped at all? Has it contributed anything positive to your life? This kind of obsessive worry about things that are beyond your control. Has it helped at all? In a few minutes, we're going to move into ministry time and start closing the service. And when we do, if you've identified a few of these things, worried, anxieties, the Holy Spirit has brought them to your mind, our invitation would be, when we call people up to do prayer ministry, that you would stand up and come forward and talk to someone and get prayer about those things. Because grace and hope and release from that churning mind and all that pressure and all the physical and everything else that's going on, release from all that stuff is available. The Holy Spirit is present here today and wants to meet with us and meet with you and meet you where you're at. And so take that opportunity when we go and come into ministry time now. Because we can control these things, emotions. They don't have to control us. You know, earlier I'd used the verse that Jesus said, you know, about in this world you will have trouble. Well, he continues in that and says, but don't worry, for I have overcome the world. That is the hope we are experiencing today on Palm Sunday, moving into this Easter season and then into Pentecost. The coming of Jesus, his death, resurrection, and ascension, and the sending of the Holy Spirit among us is a reason we have for hope, is a reason we can look forward to a beautiful future, even in the midst of the crap we are dealing with today. In Romans 5, Paul says, "Don't we know that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces proven character, and proven character produces hope." I think some of us need to hear that message today, that the struggles and things we're going through, God can use them to produce character in us that reflects the character of Jesus. And in turn, that character will bring hope. If you're in the ministry team, you can get up and start coming to the front. Worship team folks, you guys can make your way to the front. And so I would say this in closing. If you are feeling this burden today, this worry, this anxiety, this fear that's just been crippling, even some of the news we've heard today, my encouragement is to come forward and get prayer. Let these folks pray for you. Leave your stuff here at the altar, at the foot of Jesus. There's a prayer that my wife and I recently came across that she's been telling me that I think is just beautiful. And over the last while, we've been saying quite often, it's simply this: Jesus, I give everything and everyone to you. Jesus, I give everything and everyone to you. Thanks for coming to the Vineyard. In a few minutes, Pastor.